Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network.
This is another episode of Rethink Politics. We are repossessing your mind because you owe us, player. We got myself, Chaz, from Atlanta. We got Eric. What's going on?
Yes, sir, from D.C.
What's up? And we got a.k.a. the Bougie Black Brother, a.k.a.
Yup.
A.k.a. what?
Yup.
You said yup. a.k.a. New York, a.k.a. everything, Mike.
Outskirts, suburbia.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me.
I don't even know where to start. We can go from the Trump visiting, that kind of makes some people kind of whatever. Insurance, people don't know what's going to happen with that. Will people stop paying their mortgages?
Yeah.
You know,
we can back it up to,
yeah,
I think, preparation, because I think part of the problem is, you know, people aren't really thinking about global warming or these hurricanes getting stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the preparation.
I think it's really easy to say that, though, because I'll use Atlanta as an example.
Okay.
So Atlanta is right, you know, in between Florida's right here. And depending on if a storm or hurricane forms off the Atlantic, it may come from South North Carolina. It just kind of depends.
Right.
So usually you never come straight off the coast of Georgia because the coast isn't that big, relatively speaking, like Florida.
Right.
So for a lot of Atlantans, we usually get the Florida evacuees. They drive up to Atlanta, Alabama, whatever, to ride it out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes South Carolinians will drive to Atlanta. So from my experience, if there's a hurricane that says it's coming for Atlanta, everybody gonna die. I'm like, I've heard that before.
Well, Mike, so, all right, so apparently, if I understand right, the mayor was saying that he didn't want to evacuate everyone.
Yep.
Because he felt like it would have been too many people, 6.5 million, I think it was, out of Houston. And then he was afraid that there would be so many people on the highway while the storm's coming in. I'm trying to understand. So why would if everyone evacuates, right? Evacuation is part of the process whenever you know there's danger.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be more about timing, right? They just didn't know in time. But instead, his excuse is that you just can't evacuate that many people. So
I've been there. So y'all remember Snowpocalypse, right? In Atlanta? How Atlanta became an embarrassment.
right.
Oh, yeah.
So remember, it was like, was it 1 inch of snow? And people literally got stuck in their cars overnight.
Because it was ice. It was 1 inch of snow. Yep.
So just to recap that, just how important learning from history is.
Yeah.
The issue there was, it was just the order of operations was wrong. The salting was done at the wrong time or was done either too early or too late. So when they did it, maybe they did salt it, but enough time passed where the snow accumulated, just something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they finally decided to say, hey, we'll just everyone just go home. City workers went home, private sector students.
Right.
Everyone crowded the highways at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, since the salt wasn't, everything wasn't salted right, people got stuck and, you know, couldn't drive their cars. So going back to what the mayor, if that's his excuse, all you had to do was just say, realistically, what's going to happen if we do, you know, this many people go out. And I mean, I've seen, if you look at the map, Houston is like, it just kind of depends where people go. So if anyone goes to the east, then sure. But what's the likelihood of everyone's going to go to Louisiana or, you know, this, you know, like you just say, hey.
Or northern Texas, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. And not everyone's going to take the same highway just because of that particular region.
So my conflict, here's where I have the conflict at.
Mm-hmm.
2015.
What happened in 2015?
There was another hurricane, and it was flooding there, too.
Mm-hmm. Houston.
So,
yeah, they've had a problem a lot.
Yeah, so they really have the problem.
Yeah, they know about it.
This isn't new.
No, this isn't new.
For them, I mean.
No, not at all. But so I looked at it and say, what are causations? So I started going beyond the, oh, this is catastrophe and people. So the problem that's going on is almost like New Orleans. Mm-hmm. It's too much growth. So all the trees and all the things that would absorb the water or slow it down so it won't cause that, they're building so fast that all it is asphalt and buildings.
Concrete.
So that water has nowhere to go.
Right, right. And then
you're not going to stop that, though. You know, you're not going to stop that, but how do you prepare for it?
Yeah, and that's kind of where it comes into infrastructure, where, you know, you build on top of areas that are flood zones, and they're not taking into account that if you're building all this asphalt, all this concrete, all these roads, you're taking away, you know, the idea that when water comes in, it needs to flow a certain way. There's a whole development plan on how that's supposed to work, but it sounds like Houston was ignoring that, or the state. I'm not sure how that works, but yeah. It's been a problem, I think, even last year, too. There was a story about flooding, and no one's really addressed the issue in that area. So I don't know what that mayor might have, you know, some issues when it comes to that. I don't know.
So get a lot of it's not like his concern was traffic. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so but what I wanted to ask with you, E, when you was living on a peninsula, you know, there wasn't no major storms, but was there anything that you seen that, you know, the area had to say, be prepared for?
Yeah, well, I mean, you get warnings. I mean, I'm sure you guys hear the same things, but we're closer to the water.
Right.
But you get warnings and saying, we've never got an evacuation notice. That's extreme. But you get notices that they warn you when it's coming, and whether it's those, you know, those beep beeps on the TV lets you know, you know, what's going on. But just as a regular citizen, you have an idea of how serious the storm is just based off of news coverage and based off of the mayor or whatever local representative on TV having a press conference explaining what to expect. We'll get it even when it's snowing. We'll get notices like that, you know, but it sounds like they never got anything like that in Houston, and they all just woke up to just water right at their doorknobs when they woke up in the middle of the night. So,
but I don't think they knew the severity, because
that's what I mean.
To it, you know what I mean? They're used to it, but the severity, they saw this was a monster, because I was hearing it before it even hit. They was like, this is going to be a monster. And every time they interviewed people, it was kind of like, well, you know, we went through this before, so I don't think it's going to be that bad. But if they put the sense of urgency in certain people or set up in areas to say high ground areas, they could have said, oh, you will be evacuating. And then, but this is where you will go. This is where I thought that the government, the state, the damn city, all of them should have been coordinating this to say, what we had the last time, expect that, but expect a little more. But it tripled that. They said they didn't have this for one in a thousand that this would have happened. That's the only time. So I'm frustrating with these government decisions to say, I just don't want to have bad traffic. Fuck bad traffic to deaths and flooding and disaster, and they don't even know how many people are dead because they haven't got around to all of the houses.
And then the 911 dispatches are getting filled up. They can't answer all the phone calls. And then the other issue is how they went 24 hours and they couldn't get to these people, and then some people didn't understand how serious it was, so they stayed at home and then got trapped on 48 hours later because it was still raining. You know, because they couldn't get to them. So that's bad coordination. They didn't respond to any of the seriousness. I don't think the local government even understood how to even respond at all. So
Chaz,
what were you about to say, Chaz? Now, what about I just want to say, I'm just trying to put myself in that circumstance. So, you know, let's just say I'm living down there. Hey, you know, evacuate, blah, blah, blah. Or this is a big storm. So I'm thinking, I'm on the fence. Do I stay? Do I go? If I go, do I have enough money for a hotel room? Worst case scenario, everything does get flooded. I just continue to stay there. I have to continue to pay per night. Who's to say that, okay, the hotel's going to be like, all right, well, if you're impacted, here's we're going to work with you. What if they don't? Like, financially speaking, I'm just thinking how many people stayed for that reason, because it was just like
the unknown. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, how dealing with those costs can be. I mean, hotels, I would think in the, you know, southern, you know, by Texas, that area, if you drive out, you know, maybe 100 miles any direction in the country, hopefully a little hotel, motel would be cheap.
Right.
So it wouldn't be that expensive. But, I mean, do you think that played a role as well, just finances?
Well, I think it did a major role, because there's people that says, yeah, I'm barely paying my rent, so where do you want me to go? So I'm going back to the emergency services, who should have said, okay, where can we house people who can't afford to be going to hotels?
But we already, we touched on, I mean, they're talking about, what is it, September 30th? That's when, like, FEMA, or what is it? What's September 30th is some sort of the government budget's running out for the emergency services, right?
Yeah.
So from their perspective, it, like, so again, I just like putting myself in certain people's shoes. So if I'm like the FEMA dude or whoever is in charge, hey, you know, September 30th,
we may have a job. We'll have a job, but we just won't get paid.
Well, yeah, how are we going to help the people? Do we say we're going to have shelters and so people who are broke can just come and, you know, blah, blah, blah? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you... It's kind of crazy. You got to think about that. Like, the United States was, you know, facing, like, a big crisis. And, you know, it was like, no one communicated the fact that we're going to have these emergency services, because, I mean, in reality, I mean, I don't think I've seen any, like, official FEMA things. Have you? I mean, I'm trying to think. People just been converting, like, schools and stuff
into shelters. They just, you know, small stadiums, schools, auditoriums, and even some of the auditoriums got flooded. So they had people in there, and that was flooded.
Like, yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me give you another example, which was a phenomenon to me. In 2009, we had our flood.
Rita?
Right here in Atlanta.
Atlanta?
Yep.
2009. Yep. Which one was that? What area got hit?
All in the surrounding areas of Atlanta, because I worked in Lithia Springs. And I couldn't get through work because Six Flags was underwater. And half the areas where my warehouse was underwater. And I was trying to get around. So I was going to more Western just to come around and come back. And there were streets that you couldn't even go down because there was cars underwater.
Wow.
So, yeah, it exists. You know what I mean? I know what it looks like. I just live on higher ground. So I went right back to hell where I was and said, no, I can't come to work. I can't even open it up because people can't get there. So flooding like that, were we prepared for that? No. You know, that's an anomaly. But when you have consistency like Houston has it, what are you doing? You know what I mean? This is hurricane season. But being honest, like what you're saying, because you brought up a good point, they may not have the money. And then they'd be like, look, I need to hold on to something, because this storm may not be that bad, but we need to hold on, because if they shut us down, all we have is what we have.
So politically, I mean, the politics are just very, it's a very weird, I don't know the word to use, but just it's a unique circumstance in American politics. I mean, history, in my opinion. Yep. When have we been at a situation of a major, you know, national natural disaster where the threat of a government shutdown is looming, and I've seen the stories where I just go, like, you just do a double take of, I mean, last week it's all fun and games to talk about how you want to slash budgets and this and that, but, mm-hmm. you know, the budget that would be supported by the administration mm-hmm. yeah. would cut funding to all these things. And then the deeper level, which I've been trying to rack my brain around, is all this is, I mean, it's infrastructure. It's kind of to your point.
Yeah.
I mean, cities, you can't assume a city is a small, it's a yeah. business. I mean, you have your operations, your planning, your this, your that.
Right.
And who's to say that everyone has access to these kind of resources? Or, I mean, clearly Houston didn't do it. They didn't plan. Yeah. They didn't think, they just built on top of marshland. And you know what I mean? So
But you don't, mm-hmm. don't. We don't necessarily know that, though. So, let's say maybe Houston did know that there was a flooding issue, and then they have people planning and have solutions to fix them. But then there was no funding, and they actually couldn't do it because there wasn't enough money. Not that they were just broke, but that the government wasn't funding them enough to move on to build those. Especially now, when you were just talking about Trump cutting funding for HUD, and then, you know,
but I'm saying, you know, how do you fund in these red states to where
they should be getting all the money?
You know, it should be
if it's a red state.
But they fools, because you know that's who they put in place.
Right. Well, yeah.
But they don't on a local level. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. I have to go off Georgia, really the South. Mm-hmm. I mean, the South just doesn't have great infrastructure in general. I mean, on the East Coast, you have to go up to maybe Philly to start getting like trains and, you know, those kind of things. The South is just, red states in general just don't, you just don't go, wow.
But it's about the bridges. But so, yeah. I wanted you to kind of talk about that scenario of government shutdown wise. And, you know, that feel, I mean, outside of the natural disasters. I mean, this is just ridiculous to me because he's saying he wants to shut down and should they fund the fucking wall.
For a wall? Yeah. It's like, what?
So, yeah, what does that look like, man?
I mean, well, just to go back to that, he's talking about the wall. There's actually a petition out now, a petition that's trying to get the House Republicans in Congress to switch up the way. Because right now they're trying to do this, I think it's the tax reform bill.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're trying to put money into the border wall. And in order to do that, they have to take money away from what we were just talking about, from disaster relief programs mm-hmm. and HUD and in NOAA. Basically everything that would have helped the Hurricane Harvey, the issues right now in Houston. Mm-hmm. All those, whether it's the Coast Guard getting money and all these other programs, that's the kind of funding that they're trying to take away because, you know, Republicans are just trying to, you know, make Trump happy or the red states, the base or whatever happy. But they're not understanding that this is what happens when you don't put the money where it needs to be, where, you know, you have your voters that actually need this money to prevent these kind of, you know, these issues. So, I mean, these budget cuts, this is what we're talking about. I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about right now.
Right. I mean, it's the impact of bad decisions. You know, let's just make it simple.
Cumulative bad decisions that sit on top of each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like you have overflowing of, well, I mean, I think it's scary just to think about the fact that, I mean, I immediately thought of Katrina when the Army Corps of Engineers are like, hey, yeah, you know, this and this is overflooding, so we got to do some strategic releases.
They did that in Houston. Right. Yeah.
So that means, yeah. So I'm like, I get flooded because of we have fucked up infrastructure? Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm a homeowner, if I want to make a claim on that, how does that work? Mm. Do I blame? My house was good.
Yeah,
the Army released the thing, and now my house, like, you know, I mean, I'm from the real estate aspect. So all of these things, I mean, make it, people ask, you know, want to talk about you know, government and big government and that. I mean, government matters for these kind of things.
That's what we pay our taxes for. So people saying, well, you know, our taxes go to the wrong thing. So I have a conservative way when it comes to money, but I don't have a Republican way of thinking. So conservative-wise, yes, there's all of these extra money going out to big businesses and farms and subsidies. And, yeah, we need to cut the fuck out of those. Those is where we need to do that. Military, we need to kind of reduce it in certain areas that Germany should be funding a damn self and we should be more supportive. Mm-hmm. All of these areas that we at is just kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But when we need something because we paying you, you know, on a monthly basis, and you paying the cost of anything that goes on, I get it. But think about this. Texas doesn't have any state tax. So where are they dependent on? They're dependent on...
Oh, so Texas is like Florida? Well, I'm doing an income tax.
So state income tax, right? Yeah. So that extra money that they would have probably got for certain things, they only getting taxes on a local level. But if you see it, and, you know, I kind of saw it when I was looking at it today, too. Those levies or places are strategically put in the low income area. So all of the people.
That's what I was worried about. I was thinking maybe it's different because, you know, New Orleans, you kind of know the demographics. Yeah. But for kind of rural outskirts of the city of Houston, like the suburbs slash country. I'm like, maybe it's not the same old storyline of drown the ethnics.
So that's what it looked like. You know, I didn't confirm that because I was watching, you know, kind of researching.
But look at the rescues, though. I mean, the rescues have been pretty, like, it's been, I want to say, I mean, you've seen some black, you know, obviously, but I want to say it's been, like, a lot of whites as well.
Yeah, it's pretty diverse. I mean, you're talking about the fourth largest city in the country.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what fucked me up. I mean, with the fourth largest city, what are you doing?
You would think,
right?
Like, you would think that they'll have a plan. Like, hey, this happened last year. What are we going to do?
Yeah. You have to sit back, though, and look at, like, if you're, let's just say you're somebody in another country, and you're looking at this and you're like, why is that happening in the United States? Why does it look like a third world country when a hurricane hits?
A consequence of dysfunction. So, I mean, again, it goes back. What is the role of government? I mean, the private sector needs to do certain things. Mm-hmm. Nonprofits need to do certain things. But this is, in my opinion, I mean, I think that's the argument between, like, hyper-partisan politics. I mean, Republicans, we need to do things this way. Liberals, we need to do things a certain way. It's about what government should do. You know, government should run the courts. It doesn't need a financial incentive, you know, military, things like that. And then I think for disasters, it just makes sense. You need a non-biased, you know, I don't need to pay a subscription. Hey, I get fucked up, ink. You know, I pay $9.99 a month. Hey, you got flooded. Okay, we'll save you. You don't pay? Well, too bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just... That's, to me, that's the role of government. If you're a citizen of the country, there should be resources to be deployed in a predictable, strategic, predetermined fashion, not ad hoc the morning of, hey, what should we do?
Reactionary,
Yes, more strategic. Yeah, less reactionary, more strategic.
Yeah, but see, that's where the whole infrastructure issue comes in, where Obama's been trying to push that for years, or was trying to push that for years. And
Trump too, though. Apparently, he wants to spend $1 trillion. So it's like, it's kind of on the surface, it seems like, what's the difference on that level of, you know, we got to rebuild. Okay, so it's like, okay, how? Where's the money going to come from if we're going to cut everything?
Tell you the ignorance on that. That's why I kind of sent y'all that article. Trump rescinds Obama's proposed flood risk rules weeks before Hurricane Harvey hits. So this idiot decided he wanted to do that so he can do quicker infrastructure building. So if he takes away that law, you know, people be like, oh, I can just go in and make my money rebuilding. But you freaking forgetting, man, that there's people there. It's not just buildings. It's not just rebuilding. There's people there first. And he didn't think about that. He thought about, let's get the business in so I can stand up and say, yeah, I'm rebuilding. I'm bringing in more jobs. I'm fixing, restructuring. And
Photo op politics. Yeah. Photo op and, you know, headline
artists. It just makes me gag, politics. Man. And, you know, I'm tired of sitting and yelling at the screen. It's so frustrating. And, you know, and you said it earlier before we got on, if this new hurricane hits and it's more directional, it's going to run up the East Coast like a beast.
We're going to get at least some rain. And
so we'll get the heaviest of rain, because when it hits, that's that small period, but it'll just run right into Central Georgia and we're going to get it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, the question is, how many Houstons out there are there? There's cities that just aren't like prepared. They have the wrong infrastructure. It's flat land.
I feel like Atlanta is a good candidate on a certain level, at least with rain. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good our sewer systems are. So here's the funny thing. I attended a little neighborhood meeting, and the Department of Watershed Management lady was like, hey, y'all, don't use the booty wipes because they're really backing up the sewers. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm like,
guilty, by the way.
But I'm like, I was just like, what's going on with the sewers? Because the city council guy was like, yeah, you know, we're the sewage team or whatever, we're running over budget every year. The mayor, the current administration, wants to raise the solid waste tax by, you know, significant percent, 20-25%. So I'm like, oh, I don't think it's our infrastructure is I don't think we're in a good place right now. I don't, just based on that context. Mm-hmm. So if something were to happen, I mean, we don't even have our potholes are still an issue. So I'm just thinking, I don't know the drainage situation. I don't know how spillover. I'm just a little suspect on, you know, the preparedness of the city and with water.
Right.
You know, snow was one thing. I think Atlanta is, we dealt with ice before, so we kind of know the drill with that. But extended periods of just rain, that's hard. I mean, rain is heavy. For those who don't know, I recommend, if just getting a fish tank that looks small, you fill up with water, and boy, oh boy, just think about putting like 20, everyone's been to the store and bought 1 gallon jugs of water. Just put like, imagine holding 20 of those at one time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so water is heavy. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know what would happen. I don't think risk management is thought about enough in politics.
Yeah. See, the thing is, flooding is, that's one of those issues where it's expected. It's part of architecture. It's part of building within itself. So you have to assume that when they're building up these cities and they're growing, that they're taking that into consideration on how you're building out, you know, your cities, your towns, you know. So you have to have regulations on how you can build in these cities. And that's actually what it sounds like Houston failed at, where there's these regulations that were either being ignored or they just weren't being enforced. And I mean, that's the local government that has to enforce that. So you have to ask yourself, or they need to ask themselves, you know, how do you better enforce those regulations? It's different when it comes to snow. You can mess up with snow and then you can recover in 24 hours. When it comes to flooding, it's completely different. Once it comes, that's it.
Now, Eric, from your perspective, let's say I'm a House Republican. What am I thinking in terms of Trump, this current, you know, the current sense of the nation? Would I just continue? Would I just say? Because I'm thinking, if you just cut taxes for the wealthy, I mean, you know, I think the current plan is cut taxes for the wealthy and basically take from the poor. What am I thinking? And then what are Trump supporters thinking right now?
I mean, well, Trump supporters versus a House Republican, I mean, I mean, I bet the House Republicans are reactionary too, and probably see this, and they're too late. But they kind of I mean, they have to shift the way they're putting this money. I mean, you can't be talking about a border wall when you have. I think it was Mexico that's even talking about helping Houston out too.
Yep.
Which,
and they keeping quiet. You know,
but yeah, you're building a wall. Right. Yep. Yep. And then you can't continue to talk about this wall, and then you're going to help them get this wall, and then the tax reform, and take money away from disaster relief programs. And you just can't do that. I mean, as a House Republican, you can't do that. But as a Republican that's part of Trump's base, I don't know if they're unpredictable. I can't really say what they're actually thinking. They probably are following the lead from Trump. You know, he gets off the plane wearing his USA hat, and he's like, "Oh, okay, we're good. We're good. He's there." You know, so it's hard to say which direction they're gonna go. You kind of cross your fingers and hope.
So
they're,
so here's another caveat, even with that, because yeah. Ted Cruz was being interviewed. And he's the Texas guy.
I think I saw that.
And mm-hmm. so this
we gotta talk about this.
Saying, "Oh, we should put the funding in so we can help Houston and the areas in there." And it was like, oh, "Wait a minute! Didn't you just vote a couple years ago on not funding for Sandy?"
is that the one we
turned? You know, I'm like, yeah, if it doesn't affect you, it's that partisan bullshit. And I'm like, this is just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. We put people in places to represent us, even if it's representing the nation, not opposed to your state or your county or your area. You have to be concerned with the citizenry. And this fool gets on TV forgetting, because thanks to Trump, they're allowed to get on TV and forget what they said and just change mm-hmm. the story and say, nope, that's not what I said. And they fact checking his ass, but well, let me just change the subject. Yeah. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. But even though we're talking about Houston, this is what's really bad. This is what is like really upsetting. There are cities around Houston that are totally decimated. There's no infrastructure. Houses are crushed. They're either underwater. It's unlivable. They glanced by that and went directly to Houston. So I wanted to see the area, what was going on in the area. I didn't want to just see Houston, because I know Houston, heavy flooding. But the brunt of the hurricane crushed cities on the coastal area. Just totally decimated them. Mm-hmm. I mean, half of them, they caught on fire because all types of different things was going on. But the people, they ran, and a lot of them ran to Houston, and look what they ran into.
Yeah, and they got that that power plant,
the chemical
one, right now. The chemical, and they're saying that it might be a time bomb. They don't even know because they can't get into it because it's flooded. They got barrels underwater right now, so there's smoke. I don't understand how that could even happen. You would think there's regulations on these things, or there's
again
dams.
Basic risk management.
Yeah. Well, some of the there were dams that broke, right? Weren't there like a couple of dams that they either broke or they got overfilled?
By one of the coastal cities. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that might explain.
But that's ridiculous. I mean, it's ridiculous. But so if you look at it, let's kind of role play on that. So if the hurricane, the new one, hits in, hits the coastal East Coast area, basically, because it's directionally, the way I was looking at it, it's not going to have in the Miami area. It's going to hit more so, you know, like Jacksonville, coastal Savannah area, and right where the Carolinas is. And Georgia has been lucky that it rolled into that little area and rolled up the coast. It didn't have a direct impact. Yeah. But if this is going to be another one of these mega storms, you know, what's your thoughts? You know, seeing that, what are we talking about? What's your thoughts? We're kind of lucky because we're still central, and you're a little central too, E. But we got family on the coast.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, right yeah. there in that the Hampton exactly. Roads and, area.
I mean, I'm very conflicted about it because on one hand, I'm like, hopefully, you know, I don't want to. I'm thinking about of first course. self preservation. Okay, well, I get flooded. What's gonna happen? I would try to game plan ahead since I can take MARTA, you know, the transit MARTA. I'll probably park my car somewhere. Try to chill, monitor the levels, and then once I felt like things were getting real, I would probably just go ahead and go to a friend's house or stay in a hotel on like the second, third floor or something. Just depending on what the you know what the weather is saying. On the other hand, just being totally selfish, I'm thinking during Katrina, during Harvey, which is what is going to happen to the real estate market. And I know these investors are going to come in and pick up everything. Can I get a piece? Because when we look at Katrina, I mean, who in the community was able to buy back property versus a lot of the investors? So that's one thing I'm actually afraid of. If that were to happen, we would see gentrification really accelerated.
Now you're talking about the aftermath, right? Like once it
yes,
hits,
yeah.
And then
because I mean, you go through these kind of things. It's like, man, this is rough. So you know, it's you. But just long term, because even right. think about being displaced, all that. I mean, I just can't help. But if I go through a year of struggle, the aftermath can be a decade of consequence. You know. So to me, the aftermath is the most significant part, especially for, you know, for that kind of situation. I can see that happening. To me, it's like the main thing right. because especially if it's in the city. I mean, this is like a lot of prime real estate. People love to develop around here.
With the insurance issue, will be another bigger issue on top of that. But E, what's your perspective?
Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, I'm kind of thinking you got to kind of look at the history. So I'm in Northern Virginia, and you know, we get our storms too, probably not as severe as you guys, but down south, but we don't necessarily get much flooding. I mean, where I live, it's kind of hilly. So, you know, we get a lot of water rushing towards my house, but it, you know, it kind of glides by, you know, so it's a little different in my area, but the city in general, DC, it doesn't really flood. They have a pretty good system. We have the Potomac River, you know, so it technically could flood probably a little better, but it seems like our flooding system, our drainage system, it just flows. I'm just going to say probably better than Houston. so I wouldn't necessarily, like if they were telling us to evacuate, I would kind of brush it off because I would say why, because it never floods out here like that. We don't get those kind of Hurricane Sandy, Katrina's, and Harvey's in our area. So technically, I guess you could say we'd be the perfect Houston because, you know, we just don't see anything like that. And then, boom, it hits us, and then we're caught off guard. So the only story here is that Houston actually was getting flooding. So they saw that, and they just didn't react to it. So I guess I'm guilty. I'd be the type that I'd just be staying home.
Well, I want to pivot to one thing because I've been thinking about this hard as well. I mean, these are basically the same. It's the same things that I've kind of chewed on with Katrina over the years, just repeating. And one of the major things that happens with every tragedy is it's on two levels. First, donations. Yeah. Who do you donate to? Will the nonprofit or whatever actually do what they're going to do with the money? And will people make fake claims just to get the money? So just a quick recap. Example, Haiti. Donate to Haiti, right, you know, blah, blah, blah. How many people, you know, actually received the funds? And then Katrina example. Or even BP. BP Gulf back in, that happened, and hey, you know, blah blah blah. I got affected. How many people weren't really affected, but saw a way to just get some quick money? Mm-hmm. So just from the, I don't want to just go in straight cynical, but again, a lot of the things, a lot of the lessons and reflections from Katrina are very applicable here, in my opinion. So I mean, what did you guys? I want to donate to the food pantry, Houston Food Pantry, but you know, I heard about the Red Cross. Yeah. I think they have some controversy, so, I believe.
But they have some watchdogs.
Any preferred nonprofit?
That's what I picked up today, too. Because based on Katrina and a couple of other disasters, only 27-32% went to the people. Could you imagine that bullshit?
Yeah. Wow.
Then on top of that, so this time the watchdogs were saying, look, this is what you're doing. You better make a change. So right now, this is the word. This is just the data that went out. They're saying 92% is going for directly helping the people. And the watchdogs confirmed it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm the skeptical guy. So when did I pull them over and like, look, I'm going to give you a cut, but you need to be saying that we're doing a better job. You just never know. But
so the nonprofit paid off the watchdog group?
That's speculation, bro. That's no confirmation right there. But I always think that because usually when they do so well, so fast, I just don't,
There's no way you made, there's no way you made so many self-internal organizational changes.
So, you know, I'm always get skeptical on that. So, but I asked that question because it was a couple of things. Because when Katrina deal kicked in, you know, when I was renting out my other house, I made sure that my contribution was I sent money down there, which I don't know where it went, but I ensured that I had a Katrina family live in my home. So I discounted that, and then she was on a program, and I made sure this was something I can do, even if I would have had to take a sacrifice, because I wasn't profiting that much, but I wanted to contribute. So that's how I looked at it. So when I ask, sorry, it's kind of seemed like you're worried about yourself. So if it hit, I'm always thinking about, you know, the first thing I want to do is if I can go down and help, that's because it's closer. Second, friends and family, you know, when they say be prepared, then I make the call and say, look, except for thinking about this is going to be bad, why don't you come through? Because I got you. Even if I got to blow up what you call it on the floor, I got you. And if it's 10 of y'all, guess what? I got you. Because I never want to see my family on top of a house. Because, or even a friend that I know casually. But can you imagine a person? I had a good guy in Virginia. He used to jog, but he jogged early in the morning when the buses and everything ran. And me and him, you know, I got to know him. He got ran over by one of the buses because he cut through one area and the bus didn't see him and just killed him. And I was like, God damn. Wow. We was just talking about it. And I didn't know him that well, but me and him bonded because we ran. Could I have done anything? No, not quite. But when you ever can do something, I never want to be in a position to say, if I can ever do something, I got to try. And especially with this kind of devastation. Right. So, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You're right. Of course. I just want to do something that I know will help, and especially help, you know, people who are already on the fringe, you know, the low-income people, single mothers, you know, and I just sometimes get frustrated with the big organizations because of a streaky history, you know. Yeah.
So I have people now that Shauna and I knew that they combined, like small businesses, combined to bring a trailer full of water and blankets. They did it together and sent it. You know what I mean? Except for trying to wait for these big organizations, there's always somebody with a little more money than us that says, this is what I'm trying to do. And I know a truck driver and we'll pay for his gas and everything to get there, but he's willing to take this trailer down to Houston.
Yeah.
I'm always right. I'm in on that.
Yeah.
Because there's no markup or profit based on that.
Well, you
know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like
yeah.
a community yeah. organization and organizing to get that done. So that's how I'm kind of looking at it. If anything like that happened in our region or whatever, you know, family, friends, associates, and even volunteering. Hey, could I volunteer and go down and do something? Especially if it's in vicinity. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wanted to do this because there's a lack of knowledge. There's a lack of participation with our government to come together and say, global warming is making monster storms. Haven't you seen all the stupid ass movies that's, that shows you monster tornadoes, monster earthquakes, monster hurricanes? All of this shit is going on, but yet y'all saying, no, this is just going to eventually happen. Wow. Okay.
I mean, it's we talked about it last time. I mean, this era of hyper-partisan politics is, you know, can you go to somebody who wants to teach creationism in a secular country and say, hey, I think based on science, climate change is real. No, it's fake, or it's, we're going to discount it. I mean, we haven't even talked about the guy who said, what, you'll go missing about, what, the statue? I mean, we got people like that who, A, are elected, and B, making comments like that in a public forum.
Like it's okay.
So just, yeah, so again, just going to science, hard sciences and facts, you know, yeah, that's also frustrating because you know the politics are in such a way to is this, you know, what can one do, you know, if I'm in Georgia and I'm like, man, these Texas politicians are stupid, you know, do I have to just fund the opposite part? I guess maybe I should just donate to the DNC or whatever party, say, hey, help this local race in Texas. Because clearly, you know, I feel the government is XYZ or just whatever. But, you know, from a distance, sometimes that's frustrating too.
Return for part two of our Repo podcast of Hurricane Harvey and the destruction of our government departments.